It's a big word. Just means what? Thank you. So we're going to be talking about thank yous this morning. You ever say that at your home?
But your, I do.
You do? You say it a lot? Moms and dads like that, don't they?
Uh-huh.
They do. They do, don't they? Mm-hmm. Did your mom cook a good meal for you this week?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a good meal?
Mm-hmm.
Your mom's a good cooker? Did you say thank you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes her feel good, doesn't it, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about when your dad takes you somewhere? Does he ever take you to the park? Do you ever say thank you for that? Your dad takes you on vacation and spends money on you. Do you say thank you for that? Well, what happens if we don't say thank you and we just kind of think, well, Dad, that's your job. That is Dad's job, isn't it? But thank you goes along. What?
My mama takes me to the park and I say thank you for bringing me to the park.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. And sometimes moms take us to the park, not just dads, right? But they all do a lot better with thank you, right? So if it's their job and we never thank them, do you think they would feel bad? You think it can? We're going to have a little story about Jenny. And Jenny was a girl that had to learn to say thank you because she thought it was always her parents' job. And so they got tired and thought to teach her a lesson. So we're going to hear about Jenny. And then when it comes in this story, they're going to have some songs there. Now, they're good songs. Don't have a video, so we just have to listen very carefully. And then let's go ahead and play that. I think they're going to put the words of the song so we can all get the benefit. And thank you for sharing with all these good stories. Okay, song's about Jenny, and then I'm going to ask you some things about Jenny later.
Jenny was a good little girl. She cleaned her room and chewed with her mouth closed and did most of the things good little girls do. But Jenny had a problem. She never said thank you. When her mother fixed ham and eggs for breakfast, Jenny gobbled it down and said,
"How come we don't have this more often?"
When Jenny's big sister drove her to the ball game, Jenny jumped out of the car and said,
"Now don't be late coming to pick me up."
When Jenny's dad drilled her on her spelling words, Jenny said,
"That's enough. I have to go now."
Jenny was ungrateful.
She certainly was. No matter what people did for her, she never said thank you. If you've done something for someone who forgot to say thank you, you will know how Jenny's family felt. In fact, they felt so bad, they didn't want to do anything nice for her. Suddenly, life became very difficult for Jenny.
Dad, can you go over these spelling words with me after my game?
Sorry, Jenny, but I'm sure I'll be too tired.
Oh. What are we having for dinner tonight, Mom?
Nothing, Jenny. I'm not fixing dinner for you.
But, Mom! Hey, everybody, what's going on around here?
Jenny, when you forget to show gratitude, it makes us feel bad, and we don't enjoy doing things for you.
But it's your job!
It's your job to say thank you. When you say thank you, you're showing us that you know we've done something nice. Think about it, Jenny.
Think about a thank you. Think about a thank you. Doesn't hurt a bit to say. It's not much to give away. Two little words. Think about a thank you. Think about a thank you. It won't cost you anything, but it's worth remembering. Two little words. Sometimes you can write it in a letter. Sometimes you can sing it in a song. Sometimes you can say it even better if you send a gift along. Think about it. Think about a thank you. Let somebody know you care. Show your gratitude and share two little words. Think about a thank you. Think about a thank you. Say it and make someone smile. They're the most worthwhile two little words.
Jenny thought about thank yous, and she decided to start showing gratitude. So,
Jenny, come and eat your breakfast.
Ooh, waffles, my favorite. Thanks, Mom.
Jenny, you said thanks. I'll have to make waffles more often.
Jenny, don't you have a game this afternoon?
Yes, and I'm late. I'd sure be grateful if you'd take me.
Jenny, I'll not only take you, I'll stay and cheer for you.
Really? Super!
Hey, cutie, how did you do on your spelling test?
I got them all right.
That's my girl.
Thanks for helping me, Dad. I couldn't have done it without you.
When you have a gratitude attitude,
you have a gratitude attitude.
That's your sermon today. Did you learn the importance of thank yous? Did Jenny help you learn that when you say thank you to moms and dads and to each other, that it helps us to be happy? Well, thank you for coming and helping me today. Yes.
What?
What?
Every time my mom gives me something, I get to tell her thank you, and next she tells me to say thank you, and I do it.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you, children. And I'm going to let you go back to your seats. Thank you for sharing that. You're a sweet boy. Thank you. Thank you for helping the preacher today. Maybe in the future we can do that again, and maybe we can get y'all to sing the songs too. Okay. Well, they did pretty well today, didn't they? And you know, in our homes, don't we need to say thank you to each other? Moms and dads, thank you to each other for what you do. Doesn't that help an awful lot when we have a gratitude attitude? Absolutely. You know, Dan Sane, you preached for us last Sunday. Thank you. And Sister Martha Swagger, you're always sending out those letters to people of encouragement. Thank you. Cindy Witham, I had a birthday lately. Elaine had a birthday. Got some cards. Thank you. Now, Diane Johnson, it's your job to clean this building, to make us look good. It's your job, but we thank you. How about that? And how about thanking somebody who doesn't get any thanks very often? How about thanking our elders for being shepherds of the flock? That might encourage them to be better shepherds, right? Be happier shepherds. So thank you for being good shepherds. And thank you for singing for us, Tommy. You know, I feel better just saying thank you right now. It does a lot to help people, doesn't it? Now, I want to share with you adults something about this word thank you. It's probably one of the most basic, most fundamental things that we can do in character building and becoming Christ-like. Because just as we finish this sermon series on grace, grace is the word charis. In the word gratitude or thanksgiving, we have the word eucharistia. It's almost, it has charis in it, and it sounds very similar, but it's the response to grace. It's the reply to grace. You can almost hear the word thanksgiving in the word Eucharist. That's what we do at communion table, and some call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist. That is giving thanks back to God, a response to God. So thank you, God. And one thing that I want us to realize is that thank you is a relational word and keeps us from slipping into isolation and thinking that everything is about us, our demands, our wants. It's all about us in life. Because when you say thank you, you're reminded that someone else has done something very beneficial and important for you. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Thank you for whatever it is. You're reminded that you're in a relationship with someone else, See how important that is? And when we fail to give thanks, we're going into isolation. We're failing to build those bridges that Christ wants us to build with others. Well, I've got one of those heavy things for you adults now. It's a project. It's a project from the University of California, Doctors Emmons and Davis. And in their detailed study, it highlights from a research project on gratitude and thankfulness. They say that gratitude is the forgotten factor in happiness research. Now, in all the research, in high-level type of scientific research, they say scientists are latecomers to the concept of gratitude. But here's what they say in conclusion. I don't want to share all of it with you. But they say in experimental comparisons, that is, in everyday experience, those who kept gratitude journals on a weekly basis, exercised more regularly, had fewer physical symptoms, felt better about their whole life, and were more optimistic about in the week than those who recorded hassles or were neutral in life. Now, you may not be keeping a journal, but you know, this brain just keeps a record, doesn't it? It keeps a mental record going. Another thing that they saw is that those who kept a gratitude list made progress toward important personal goals more than those that did not. They talk about a gratitude intervention. A gratitude intervention, something that calls you to stop and to evaluate and to think about what you should be aware of. Causes you to have a positive state of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, and energy compared to those who live a life of hassles. Well, they say that children who practice grateful thinking have more positive attitudes toward school and their family. Any doubts about that? So maybe this week, maybe families need to do an intervention and talk about what we're thankful for and give thanks to each other. A couple of other things that they mentioned. Spirituality. The research shows that those who attend religious service and engage in religious activities such as prayer and reading are more likely to be thankful individuals and be connected in life with greater commitment and responsibility to others. And lastly, in regards to materialism, grateful individuals place less importance on materialistic goods to make them happy. They are less likely to judge their own success and that of others in terms of possessions. They are less envious of others and are more likely to share their possessions than others who are less grateful. Does that surprise you? Research has come to that. Well, the Bible's been there a long ahead of time, hasn't it? Telling us about gratitude. So let's share some things in the Bible now. We have time for about three things that I want to refer to. In the Old Testament, when you open the book of Songs, how many times does it say, "Give thanks unto the Lord"? Let me just refer you to Psalms 118. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." And then the psalmist goes on to say, "Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever." Why is it that he's reminding us that we need to say the Lord's love is always eternal and forever? Because we need to be reminded. It's almost like that intervention, isn't it? The Lord has been good to us, and now let us respond. Let us say to the Lord and to each other that the Lord is good. You know, the New Testament even quotes that. Peter quotes it in his book when he says, "If you have tasted that the Lord is good." Have you? Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Then I would say the same thing that the psalmist says over and over. Tell it. Say it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let us thank each other and tell each other of the Lord's goodness. And it does something inside. It makes us a grateful people. When I look in the Old Testament, the people of God are reminded that when they inherited this land of promise, they went in there. It was not because of their own strength or their own efforts, but because the Lord was going before them. And the Lord was giving them a land of milk and honey. And that when they went into the land, they needed to be careful lest they forget the Lord, lest they forget and they become satisfied and say, "Look what I've gotten and look what I've gained." You know what the Lord is saying? We need to constantly intervene in our own minds and our hearts and say, Thank you, God, for what you have done. All of this is because the Lord has been good to his people. Now, that's from an Old Testament perspective that we're reminded to stay connected to God's grace with thanksgiving. Now, secondly, I want us to refer to Jesus. Jesus was the epitome of thanksgiving, and there's a story, one of the parables that we didn't look at in the parable study, but there's a story in Luke 17 about 10 lepers. And these lepers are in front of Jesus, and they know his reputation, and they want to be healed. Now, if you're a leper, you know what that means? You can't come in contact with other people. You're a social outcast. You have sores all over your body. Your life is the pit. No one will hire you for work. You're a constant beggar. Your life is pitiful. And Jesus was willing to heal them, all 10 of them. And then he said, go and show yourself to the priest. And they did, but only one came back and said, thank you, and gave praise. Let me ask you, if you were that leper, if you were so down on your luck or on your life, what would you say at that time? Man, I think I'd just be saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Would you be saying that? Would you be bowing down and saying, thank you, God, for all that you've done? In a sense, we are that leper because we have come to Jesus to be healed and to be cleansed and to receive his blessings. We don't need to be like the 9 who went away and forgot. We need to be constantly intervening in our lives, saying, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you've done. Remember, the gospel is not about what we have done. It's what God has done. And so basically our response is to say, thank you, Lord. We receive what you have given, namely your love, your forgiveness, and all of the blessings of your kingdom. Well, there's a third little story that I want to share with you, and that's the story about about a man that gave up just about everything to be a great apostle, the Apostle Paul. He wrote many books in the Bible. He established many churches. But on one occasion, after preaching and after doing some healing, he was thrown into jail. You know the story in Acts 16? He was thrown into jail. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, how many of us would have the kind of attitude to be thankful in jail? We'd probably be down on our luck. We'd probably be talking about how we didn't deserve this, how we've given up everything for the Lord. We've given up our riches. We've given up our position in life. We've done so much, and we didn't deserve this. Would you be like that? And so we might be spiraling downward, but you know, the Apostle Paul and Silas, who were in that jail, had what I call a mental intervention, what those researchers are saying, and they began to count their blessings. They began to give praise to God in songs about midnight. Now, you know the story how the jailer who was there and heard it went on to repent of his sins and get baptized that night. And I think some of it was because he saw the peace in the life of this man who sang praise to God at midnight. What were they singing? What were they saying? Didn't it have something to do with thanks, Lord? Thanks for all that you've done. Thanks for your kingdom. Thanks for your mercy. Thanks for your grace. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I think sometimes when we're down on our luck, when we're down on life, we need to think of the Apostle Paul who said, midnight, thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to close this part of the lesson. We're coming to the invitation. But I'm reminded of this apostle who wrote in Philippians that we should rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord. It's easy to say that. But when he says rejoice and give thanks at all times, he says he's got a secret to give us, a secret of contentment, a secret. And gratitude relates to thanksgiving. It relates to praise of God. It's an intervention of reminding us that life is more than our successes and our failures. It's about our connection with God and with each other in his kingdom. And so the secret that he gives us is, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Now that is a real key to gratitude. Jesus Christ has made you somebody. He has given you the love of God in his own person to tell you that you are worth everything, including his life. And that has enabled the Apostle Paul to go without or to have success, to labor tremendously or to suffer on behalf of Christ, because he is constantly saying, Christ Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Now, when we sing the invitation, It's not so much about you, but it's about what God has done. And that God is wanting to bless your life with His kingdom, with His love, with His forgiveness, and all the blessings. And He just wants you to be able to say, I receive this with gratitude. Thank you, Lord. So when we sing the invitation today, I've asked Tommy to just to sing a, it doesn't sound like an invitation. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you respond with that attitude? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. I want to respond. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand and sing.